From the studios of Boise State Public Radio, I'm Samantha Wright, filling in for Jim Agudat. As summer approaches and we all start to make some plans for our favorite outdoor activities, there's probably one more thing we should be preparing for, and that's wildfires. Protecting your health through the smoky months can be a lifesaver, literally, for some people. And that's why each year the Northwest Air Quality Communicators Group hosts a Smoke Ready Week during June. This week, we'll feature a new theme every day specific to smoke to help people prepare as they start to spend more time outside. Joining us today to talk more about Smoke Ready Week is Assistant Professor Luke Montrose from the School of Public and Population Health at Boise State University. Hi, Luke. How you doing?
Real good, Sam. Nice to be with you.
Nice to be with you. Okay, so as we said, Smoke Ready Week has a theme for each day of the week. What do you have planned?
So this week, along with Idaho Department of Environmental Quality and others who are interested in ensuring people protect their health this season from wildfire smoke, I'll be trying to highlight several different thematic messages that the Smoke Ready coordinating group has put together. So you can follow that on either Idaho Department of Environmental Quality's Instagram and Twitter or my own Twitter. And we'll be just trying to put out good information for people to keep in mind.
Gotcha. Okay. So for a lot of times, the smoke that we see in the summer months, it's kind of a nuisance. It's kind of depressing. We don't always think of it as a health hazard. But what sort of things should we be thinking about when it comes to health risks and poor air quality?
Yeah, that's a great point. So on Tuesday of this week, the theme is how smoke affects your health. And so on that day, and we'll be talking about the risks to both your lungs and your heart, but also some potentially new data that suggests that long-term effects can impact other organs of your body. And so really just trying to highlight some of the new research on this. It's certainly not just a nuisance for some people, especially those with pre-existing conditions. As you mentioned in the intro, this can be life or death. So people can have, for example, a COPD exacerbation, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease exacerbation that could put them in the hospital. And so these are very important things to keep in mind for sure.
Well, and you just mentioned the heart. I mean, I think people think smoke and lungs, but it's going to hurt my heart too.
So what ends up happening is the smoke particles that get into the lungs, they themselves, if they're very small, can enter into the bloodstream, but more so they can generate an inflammatory response, and that inflammatory cascade, those inflammatory factors, we call those cytokines, they can be liberated from the lung, and actually the next closest organ with a direct blood flow is the heart. And so there's a lot of communication between the lung and the heart, and that's why the heart ends up sometimes taking an equal amount of, the brunt of the negative health consequences that, those particles can produce.
Wow. See, you just taught me something new. Wow. Okay. So when wildfire season begins, who is the most at risk? You mentioned folks with COPD, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, things like asthma. Is that the kind of things, health conditions we're talking about?
Yeah, so we oftentimes, the same group of vulnerable folks oftentimes get highlighted, and that's those with pre-existing conditions that already impact the heart and the lungs. In addition, those folks who are also in the older age class. And so those folks oftentimes overlap with perhaps those who have pre-existing conditions. So you need to kind of be self-aware and know if you are both old and you have COPD, you're sort of doubly at risk. In addition, we also want to protect those who are very young, who are still developing their organs, especially their lung and their heart. And then we oftentimes think about those who are pregnant or may become pregnant or those who are nursing, because those particles and those inflammatory factors could influence either the gestating fetus or the potentially nursing new baby.
Well, that's fairly terrifying. Okay, so we're talking about air on the outside. What about air on the inside? How do you keep air on the inside from all that smoke during wildfire season?
This is a great thing to start thinking about now, early, before smoke season gets here and your local big box store or Amazon or whatever is completely out of stock with things like home air filters or and by that, I mean the filters that go in your HVAC system, your heating and ventilation, air conditioning system. You want to make sure that you have plenty of those on hand, that you're changing them out regularly, and that they are the highest filtration that your air conditioner and furnace can handle. In addition, you can create a clean air space or an enhanced clean air space in your house by going out and purchasing a standalone air filtration unit. So these little air purifiers come in all different types of sizes and shapes and looks and price points as well. You'll want to pay special attention to the square footage that those air purifiers are meant for and know before you go to the store which room you want to put those in, likely a room that you spend a lot of time in, like either your bedroom or your living room, or if you have the money, potentially both. Those are all great ways to think about creating a clean airspace and doing it now rather than later.
All right. And we've been talking about wildfire smoke, but there's other smoke out there, right? What else is there?
That's a great point. So this time of year, as we get into the fall and agricultural burns begin to happen, oftentimes these unfortunately coincide with wildfire season, and it's because of the way that crops are harvested. Some crops need to have the fields burned afterwards, and that oftentimes occurs in the fall. And these are necessary steps that help the crop for next year. And so you'll see that the Idaho Department of Agriculture will be watching air quality very closely. And there's a whole host of criteria that have to be met before they will begin a burn. But you may see, in addition to wildfire smoke in the air, crop residue burning smoke as well. But realize that Idaho Department of Environmental Quality has a essentially an entire program built around doing that as safely as possible. So that is something to keep in mind, that it's just not wildfire smoke this time of year.
Gotcha. We're speaking with BSU Assistant Professor Luke Montrose about the impact smoke can have on our health and what we can do to reduce our exposure to it during wildfire season. Okay, so I've made my little defensible airspace inside, but eventually I have to go out. And if the air quality is poor, what can I do to help myself out?
That's a great question. I have two answers. The first answer, and you might have already kind of mentioned this, but I think the more knowledge you have, the better off you are. So take matters into your own hands and really understand your own air quality. And you can do that by either checking your local air quality data from the Department of Environmental Quality, or if you have the means, you can actually order these small, low-cost sensors online, and you can either set up a stationary unit at your house, or you could get one of the ones that you can take with you places. And the more you know, like I said, the better off you are. You can figure out what air quality looks like in your house, at work, in the gym, and when you're traveling around town. So having that knowledge, I think, is a really key idea there. And be a citizen scientist. One of the things I tell people is this can be, it doesn't have to be all doom and gloom. Learning about your own air quality can be kind of a fun thing, maybe even involve your kids in this sort of science experiment. If it is a bad air quality day, one of the things that we can do to reduce our exposure is be thoughtful about whether or not we need to be outside. If you have created a clean airspace inside, and you don't need to be outside that day, you know, try to stay inside, try to limit that exposure. And if you are going to go outside, try to reduce the amount of exertion that you do. The heavier that we breathe, the more that we breathe, the more of those particles that get into our lungs. So if it's a bad air quality day on a Tuesday, but it looks like it could be better on a Wednesday, maybe you do that mountain bike ride on Wednesday rather than Tuesday.
Sounds like proper planning plays an important part in all this.
Indeed.
Oh, wow. Okay. So there really is a device I can get that I can carry around with me to tell me how bad the air is? That's awesome.
And some of these new technologies can be as cheap as $30, $40. And I know that that's not inconsequential for everyone, but for those who have the ability and want to, like I said, be a citizen scientist, this technology has become fairly accessible.
All right. So how do we learn more about Smoke Ready Week?
So if it were me, I would follow Idaho Department of Environmental Quality. That's IDAHODEQ at either Instagram or Twitter. They can also follow me on Twitter at Luke Montrose. And then the Idaho Smoke Blog is another great place. It's a great resource that can send you to find out more information about creating a DIY air filtration unit in your house. It can also teach you about masking, whether or not cloth masks versus N95s are better. Spoiler alert, N95s are the ones that you want for wildfire smoke. and more resources like that.
Well, that's awesome. We'll link back to those on our website, which is BoiseStatePublicRadio.org, later today. We've been speaking with Assistant Professor Luke Montrose from the School of Public and Population Health at Boise State University about Smoke Ready Week. Thanks for telling us about it and helping us out.
Samantha, I really appreciate you. The last thing I'll say is just let everyone know that we are hosting the third annual Rocky Mountain Wildfire Smoke Symposium this fall in November. And so I can also pass that information along to your listeners as well. Thanks again for having me.
That is amazing. All right. Thanks to Luke Montrose from Boise State. Up next, a nasty fungus that kills bats has been found in Idaho. I'm Samantha Wright, filling in for Jim McGaudette. You're listening to Idaho Matters.